Brother Greg Nickel from the Edmonton Laurier Heights Congregation will consider the second part of this symposium. Anticipate future kingdom blessings, one language.
We'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9. This is the key scripture for this future kingdom blessing. So to begin this discussion, we'd like to read this together. So let's do that. There it says, "For then I will change the language of the peoples to a pure language, so that all of them may call on the name of Jehovah to serve him shoulder to shoulder." Well, this scripture certainly raises some questions, doesn't it? For example, you may be wondering, what is the pure language? Did you know that language experts say there are approximately 7,000 spoken languages in the world? Well, is the pure language one of those languages? Well, no, it's not on the list. We understand that that prophecy in Zephaniah is referring to a figurative, not a literal tongue. So what is it? It is the pure or incorruptible language of truth about Jehovah God and his purposes as found in his word. Well, this would include the understanding of God's kingdom, the truth about that, and how that kingdom will sanctify Jehovah's name and vindicate his sovereignty, as well as how the kingdom will bring eternal blessings to faithful mankind. But how will the purpose of the pure language be accomplished? Did you notice the second part of that verse in Zephaniah 3 and 9? It gives us the answer. It says that people would call on the name of Jehovah in order to serve him unitedly, shoulder to shoulder. Now, in the footnote to that verse, it actually says to worship him in unity. Well, who today are unitedly calling on the name of Jehovah, regardless of their race, their nationality, or language, in order to make his name and his purpose known? Well, this unity is unique to Jehovah's Witnesses. In fact, nowhere in this time of global unrest do we find any other group speaking this pure language of truth. We may remember Jesus' words at John 13 and 35. It really qualifies one reason why this is true. I know we could probably recount it by heart, but let's take our Bibles and just turn there for a moment. That's John 13 and verse 35. John 13 and 35, Jesus' word says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love among yourselves." Yes, the unity that we enjoy is a result of this special love that Jesus said would identify his true disciples. Well, now another interesting question arises. Although Jehovah's Witnesses speak a figurative pure language today, will mankind speak one literal language in the future? Have you ever wondered that? Well, we may think that that prophecy at Zephaniah 3 and 9 might have supported that idea, but we need to remember that this prophecy is discussing the figurative language that Jehovah's people speak today. It's not a literal language that we will speak in the new world. Nevertheless, while we cannot be dogmatic, there is reason to believe that in the new world, humans will speak just one language. And why can we say this? Well, we're going to look at two reasons. The first reason, for at least 1,757 years, mankind spoke just one language. But then something changed. Do you remember what happened? The Bible account in Genesis 10 and 11 gives us some details on the events that took place. In verse 1 of chapter 11, it did say that all the earth continued to be of one language and one set of words at the time. But then it went on to explain how a rebellion took place among disobedient ones, ones led by a man by the name of Nimrod. Do you remember how he was described in the scripture? As a mighty hunter in opposition to Jehovah. So when Nimrod started building a false religious tower in Babel, Jehovah confused the languages of the people so that they couldn't continue their building project. But then they would spread out in all the earth, which was Jehovah's command for them at that time. So the point is, though, if the rebellion at that time hadn't taken place, it would suggest that that one language that was spoken before would continue. The second reason. After the final test at the end of the 1,000 years in the new system, there will be no need to thwart united rebellions like that one in Nimrod's time. For at that time, righteousness and peace will abound. And there will be no opposers, no ones like Nimrod around at that time. So it's only reasonable to anticipate that all mankind will be united in speaking just one literal language, undoing the confusion that began at the Tower of Babel. And now another interesting question arises. What language will be spoken? What do you think? What are you thinking? English? Ask somebody who's trying to learn English if that would be a good language to learn. How about Hebrew? Are you thinking that? Well, possibly. A lot of us have thought that. But the answer is not clear. But it is possible, since that was the one language spoken by man up until the rebellion at Babel. But this is the point. No matter what literal language is spoken, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of Jehovah. That's Jehovah's purpose. This knowledge will include the pure language that is being spoken now, as well as the instructions, the revelations that we will receive in the new scrolls that we will read about later on this morning in Revelation 20 and verse 12. And what about all the resurrected ones that will also need to be taught the knowledge of Jehovah? What language will we speak to them? Will we all have to learn all of those ancient languages so that we can help them learn and appreciate Jehovah's purposes? Well, that wouldn't be reasonable. Speaking one literal language today would truly unite everyone in the pure language of truth. What a privilege it will be to take part in the greatest educational work in the history of mankind. Imagine how much righteous mankind will accomplish when everyone is united by divine education. Some of these accomplishments are recorded for us in God's Word. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 65, and I'm sure you've read this many times, and every time you read it, do you meditate on the things that you could accomplish in the new world? And especially if there is one united group of people doing the work, speaking one united language. Notice some of the expressions starting in verse 21 of Isaiah 65. It says, they will build houses. And for what purpose will they build houses? The next verse says, not for someone else to occupy, but for them to occupy. The same thing for planting vineyards and eating their fruitage. Not for someone else. Those of you who build houses today, you probably do a very good job at what you do. And you're very skilled at what you do. But can you imagine what you could accomplish, the kind of house that you could build in the new system? It goes on to explain that the days of my people will be like the days of a tree, the work of their hands they will enjoy. Can you imagine working at something you truly enjoy? Not toiling for nothing. And the reason why, because we are blessed by Jehovah. So there's something that's important for us to keep in mind. The builders of that false religious tower of Babel, they had intelligence. They had skills for their time. It was unsurpassed for their time. But the work stopped. Jehovah confused their languages because that project was not in harmony with Jehovah's purpose. But in the new world, we can use our intelligence and our skills in a positive way to fulfill Jehovah's purpose. And we can be confident that we will receive Jehovah's blessing. and it will be an evidence by the things that we accomplish. What a beautiful thing, and all of that enhanced by speaking one language. So friends, when might we meditate on this future kingdom blessing? Because we do want to meditate on it, don't we? Note the following demonstration in which three sisters engaged in the midday field ministry find an opportunity to reflect on these future blessings as they wait for others who are preaching.
I'm glad that I had my Good News for People of All Nations booklet with me when I met that woman. It helped me to give her at least a basic witness in her own language. I wish I could have done more, though, than just point and make all these funny gestures to get her to understand me.
You did just fine, Bonnie. I appreciate how warm and sincere you were. I think she could see your genuine interest in her. And you even remembered to show her the reference to our website.
And you remembered to get her name and address, so someone who does speak her language can make a return visit. Oh, but don't forget to fill out the please follow-up form and give it to the secretary. I sometimes forget to do that.
Oh, thanks. I'll be sure to do that. You two are really encouraging to work with. Won't it be wonderful when we can just talk to people about Jehovah without all these language barriers?
I agree.
Me too.
I realize that we can't know for sure, but do you think that we'll all speak one literal language in the new world?
I don't know. But remember, before the rebellion at the Tower of Babel, mankind only spoke one language.
That's right. And didn't we learn at a recent convention that it is possible that we'll all go back to speaking just one language in the new world?
Well, that would mean that we could talk to anyone regardless of his or her background.
It would be so practical, too. Just think, we wouldn't have to spend time learning lots of ancient languages to help newly baptized ones learn the truth.
And it would also mean we wouldn't have to use a booklet like this one.
Yeah. And then I wouldn't have to make all these ridiculous gestures to get people to understand me.
The figurative pure language that unites God's people today will continue to be spoken and taught in the new world. But if it should be Jehovah's will to restore one literal language for mankind, this would certainly put the finishing touch to the unity that we already enjoy, would it not? With all the religious, national, social, racial, linguistic barriers gone, there will be just one human family united in worship of our one God, Jehovah, according to Zechariah 14 and verse 9. Brothers and sisters and friends, are you longing to experience such blessings?